today as we come to the table.
I'm in a place now, if somebody ever came to me, oh, I'll tell you about Mark Kirk, let me tell you what he did. I'll say, it's all true. I'm not hiding it. It's all true. Here, shine the light on it. Get a spotlight out. I'm not going to give you more details than you need, because why talk about sin? But everything you said is true. Here's the difference. I've confessed it and I'm forgiven. What have you done with your sin? See, we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to be afraid. I remember walking in the mall one time and seeing an old sin buddy. You ever seen an old sin buddy when you're out, you know? And I had since been saved. And I see the old sin buddy. And the first time that happened, I kind of just, you kind of run. I'm like, I'll see my sin buddy. I'm out of here, you know? And then after that, it was like, you know what? No, I see him. I go up and say, hey, how are you doing?
As Pastor Mark continues his teaching series through the Gospel of John, he'll be encouraging you to walk in the grace of God and in His forgiveness. The enemy will always try to make you feel guilty for your sin. But remember, you're forgiven of all your past, present, and future sins. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Be encouraged that although you've lived a past life of sin, you now have the power of the Holy Spirit to be molded more and more into the image of Jesus. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You've been transformed into a new creation in Jesus. The old man has passed away, and the Lord is making you new. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
We condemn ourselves when we reject the helicopter from heaven. When we say, I don't want that, I'm fine, we're bringing condemnation on ourselves. God didn't do that. We're just choosing to stay in our condemnation rather than taking the way of escape. And this is something Nicodemus had to understand. Again, it's no different than the player with the broken leg. You know, he needs a doctor. He can't run on his own. The doctor has to be the one to heal him, and that doctor is Jesus. And so, again, as we said, it doesn't mean that God's not going to judge mankind one day. He's going to do that, but that's going to be at the second coming. You know, the first coming, it says the Lord came to save, and he came as a lamb to die for us. And the Bible says the second time, after he gives everyone an opportunity, and he will, no matter where they are, by God's power, by nature, by whatever the Bible says in Romans, everyone will have a chance, whether they know the name of Jesus or not. They'll have some recognition of God and what they need to do. And when that is rejected, at the second coming, he says, and he's going to be driving more people to himself during the great tribulation. Because again, some people see that as, wow, God's judgment, and it is God's wrath on the earth, but it's a great act of love. And why is it a great act of love? Because those that are still here after the rapture, that are going through the great tribulation, many of them, the only way they would ever look to God is if their life was completely under siege. And so God loves them enough to say, you know what? I will allow your life to be under siege because I want you to get on the helicopter. And when you see how bad it's really going to be, maybe you'll join. But for those who don't, at the end of the great tribulation, and when he comes back in the second coming, the Bible says he's going to let out a shout like a warrior. He's going to roar from heaven like a lion. What's that going to sound like? You know, I'm kind of glad we're already going to be up there with him, because that would be pretty scary. We won't be scared because we'll see our God roar, you know. But it says he's going to let out a gasp and a roar like, finally I can go straighten this mess out. I've waited. I've given every opportunity for mankind. And now we're going to go make righteousness rule and reign on the earth. Is that going to be a great day or what? And the Lord's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom and rule righteously and finally find the justice and righteousness that he died for and that he's been waiting for. But the first time it was to welcome us into the kingdom. The second time, guys, it's going to be for those who have rejected, it's going to be judgment. And because they've chosen to stay in that condemnation, they'll be there. But that is not God's heart. He desires that none perish, the Bible says. He's given us the rescue helicopter and the way out. But the bottom line is we have to take it. We have to do it. He's the one that has to bring us out. And again, we're not to condemn the world, even as Jesus didn't condemn the world. Again, here's the point I want to make for us, and I've already said it, but I want to drive it home. We're not to condemn the world either. It doesn't do any good if we see someone in sin and begin condemning. We have to give them the hope. This is why Paul, again, speaking of how we're to deal with those inside the church and those outside of the church, said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, he said, "For what do I have to do with judging those on the outside?" In other words, I'm not going to judge and condemn those in the world. They're already judged. They're already condemned. They were born that way. He says, "Do you not judge those who are inside?" He said, if you're going to deal with issues within the church, then yes, you need to do that. There needs to be church discipline and order, and a believer needs to be addressed if there's some sin going on. But it's the believer that we're to address. Listen, if we're to confront anybody, guys, it's the believer. The world, we simply give them hope. We simply tell them Jesus died for them, and we let them know, yes, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is sin. I'm not saying we don't reveal that. But then rather than condemning them or judging them, we say, but you have hope in Jesus Christ. He says, those who are outside, God judges. And why does God judge them? Well, because they're already condemned. And we, like Jesus, are simply to share the hope that they can be rescued. So he tells Nicodemus this. You know, I didn't come to condemn. Get that out of your mind. Verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, hence the title, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Notice, for those who believe in Jesus, they're not condemned because they believe, but it's only because they believe, not because they're good. He didn't say because you did good things and because you were nice. He's saying, no, it's because you believed and took your way of escape. You climbed out of on the cross from that pit. You took that heavenly helicopter. However you want to view it, you responded to God when he came after you. And so because of that, you're saved. He says, but notice those who don't believe, he says, they're condemned already. And again, because they've been born in condemnation, it wouldn't do any good for the Lord to walk around telling everyone they're condemned. All that would do is confirm something that he already knows to be true. He came to say, I can rescue you. But again, this is Nicodemus, because Nicodemus is the one here condemned. And he's convicted in his spirit. We know that Nicodemus later gives his life to the Lord, which is exciting. But Jesus is now laying out that pathway to hope. He's showing him there's a way out. And notice what he says in verse 19. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now notice this. Jesus breaks up man's condemnation into two explanations, how and why. Now, we know we're condemned because we're born condemned. That's a foundation that's in place. But he adds to that another reason men are condemned, although born in that condemnation, or one of the reasons they remain in condemnation is because, here's the how, because they reject the light. Jesus said, I know you're in darkness, but I've come to show you light and give you a way out. Receive it. If they reject it, they remain in that state of condemnation. And then what is the why? Well, the why is because when men saw the light, they decided they loved darkness rather than the light. Guys, get this. That is, they loved their darkness more than Jesus and the light he brings. And not only that, they loved the darkness, get this, more than they loved themselves. Mark, where are you getting that? Interesting. The word here. Now, guys, this is going to blow some of you away. The first time I saw this, it was a while back. Now I already knew it, so it wasn't as impacting this time, but it's still impacting every time I see it. The word here for love, when it says they loved darkness rather than light, guess what that word is? Agape. That should ring some bells for some of us in here. I thought only God had agape love. I thought only Christians could love agape, because what is the definition of agape? It means self-sacrificing love that is stronger than a love of ourself. That is true. God does agape us, but agape is not limited just to the good kind of love. Agape can be used for evil. In other words, they literally self-sacrificed and loved the darkness so much, they loved darkness more than themselves. They agape'd darkness. Listen, if you came from a background like I did, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's only going to take a second for some of you to follow right along with what I'm saying. Why is it when I was in the world and the party life was a part of my life that I would do something one night that made me wake up the next morning so sick and feeling horrible I could barely move, and I already began making the plans of the next party the next evening? Why? Because that was me. I agape'd darkness more than myself. I was killing my liver. I was killing what little brain cells I had then and barely hanging on to what I've got now. I'm just trying to make it to shore at this point as it is. But I was killing brain cells. I was killing my liver. I was feeling terrible. And I was going, wow, where's the next party? When's it going to be so I can do it all over again? Listen, you can call it stupidity, and maybe so, but really it's being trapped in that pit of sin. And I loved the darkness more than even myself. I was willing to sacrifice my body and sacrifice my health for my darkness. This applies to me. I read this, God, this is Mark Kirk, big time. And so it hits home with me. And I realize that. But again, it's amazing to think that we would love ourselves or love the darkness enough to kill ourselves. Some of you come from the same background. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And notice here, they love darkness because it says their deeds were evil. It's interesting here, evil here is the word poneros. It means the deliberate defiance of the moral law for personal gain, note this, without regard to the pain or suffering brought to others by it. That was me. All I wanted was to feel good. What Mark wants, it was about Mark. Every party was about Mark. I want to feel good. I want what I want. You shouldn't drive that way. I don't care. It's about me. What if somebody gets hurt? I don't care. I didn't care about you guys. I love you now because I'm no longer living for the old ugly Mark who still lives, but I have to keep down. Now I'm living for Jesus, and he gives me a love for you, and you love me, and we're family. Aw. But guys, this was your pastor. This was me. I was loving darkness, and I didn't care about you. As a matter of fact, I remember, I look back, after I came to the Lord, I realized how I was going dark again. I'm in darkness. I need to be in darkness. I was leading people to hell. I was the one heading up the party. I was the guy they wanted to be there because they knew I'd be the craziest. And when I got saved, I say that in shame, not in anything else. When I got saved, that was so heavy on me. I was like, Lord, I spent the first 25 years of my life leading people down a path to hell. And now you've given me another chance to turn this around. I can't go and reverse all the damage I've done, but I'm going to take the life that I've got left and I'm going to use it for you and do what I can to turn people back the other way. And God, by grace, has allowed me to do that. And I remember when I hit 51, I was like, yes, I'm now 1 year more serving him than the years I spent serving the devil. And so God has given me that much time to make up and even more. It says in Joel that God will restore the years the canker worm has eaten. And the canker worm would go and clear all the green off the trees. There was nothing but sticks and sprigs. Everything looked dead. That was my life. And then God, when I came to him after I'd done all this damage, he began to send greenery back and began to grow back. And see, this is what God does for us. He'll do the same thing for you. But God doesn't show, you know, it's not like, you know, God shows favoritism. I've called Mark. You know, God made me a pastor in spite of myself, not because I did that stuff. That's disqualifying. It was in spite of what I did that God did that. And I think the reason that God oftentimes saves the worst of the worst like me is so that when you come to me after a service, you go, Pastor Mark, I feel so bad. I can't tell you this. You'll never believe this. And I know you're going to think I'm awful. And you're like, what are you talking about? I've been there. I'm not judging you. How can I help you? Let's pray. Can God set me free? He did me. He can set you free too. And I know it by experience. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to work it up and hope that a shadow, God, please, Lord, no, God, you got to do this. You're expecting me. I'm the pastor. Heal them, Lord. God, set them free. I just say, you know what? I don't know what God's going to do. It depends on your heart. But here's what I will say. When we pray, God's going to meet you here in power. Doesn't mean you're going to be healed if there's some like ailment or whatever. But if it's a sin issue, God will heal you of that. Absolutely every time. And he will set you free if you believe in his power. I can say that authoritatively, not only from the word, but because I lived it. So don't think I'm judging you if you come forward to share something. I'm not judging you. I mean, sadly, I think God uses that to give me grace. But this is, again, God saying, you know what? Rather than condemning or rejecting, I've not come to do that, but men have rejected me. And they've rejected the light, and their deeds are evil. And so he's explained to Nicodemus what it is that keeps a man out of the kingdom and what it is that lets a man in the kingdom. Again, God doesn't condemn anybody. We condemn ourselves. And look at verse 20. He said, for everyone practicing evil, and notice that, have that underlined, everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Practicing means to live that way as a lifestyle. It doesn't mean the Christian that's struggling or wrestling with sin. If you're here this morning and you've got this sin that you're fighting with, but you hate it and you don't want to be there, he's not talking about you. God has grace. God will set you free. He's going to give you help. Continue to seek him. Continue to ask him for help and stay away from those things that are causing you to stumble. If you're stumbling with drinking, don't have a six-pack in your fridge. If you're stumbling with pornography, don't go to R-rated movies. It's not about legalism. It's about, what do I need to protect my eyes from? Do I want to see that sex scene? That's the last thing I need. I don't need any more of that. I wasted too much of my life on that stuff. So whatever boundaries you need to set them up. Guard yourself. Keep yourself protected. He's talking about those who choose to live evil as a lifestyle. Those who are practicing evil. That's what the word means there. As a lifestyle, I choose to do this. I'm going to do it regardless. That's just what I want to do. He says, they don't come lest their deeds should be exposed. It's the word prasso there. And again, habitual lifestyle is what it means. And so Jesus said, if you continue to live that way, you'll eventually hate the light. And that is, living that lifestyle of sin leads you to that hatred of the light. You know, it's interesting. Again, when you're doing evil deeds, notice he says, this is why they hate the light, because the light exposes their evil deeds, and no one wants to be seen in their evil deeds. Late at night, when it's time for the bar to close down, I hope you don't know about this. I do, sadly. How do they get people out of there? Turn the lights on. Boom. Oh, I've got to go, honey. How about you? Whatever. And you're out of there. Because the lights are on. You don't like the light. Get out of the light. Why is it when you go to Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall buildings, they have no windows? You ever notice that? There's no windows in a Kingdom Hall Jehovah's Witness church. They don't want the light in. It's something, I don't know that they even know they're doing it. It's something in the spirit that causes people to block light, keep things secret, hide those deeds. Don't let people know what you're doing. And so he says they don't want their deeds to be exposed, and none of us want our deeds to be exposed until we're saved. And once we're saved, we take our deeds to the Lord and he washes them away. That's the cool thing. Everyone doesn't have to know about our deeds if we tell Jesus. And so the kind of evil they do is different here as well too. And he says their deeds are exposed. The word here is the word phallos. It means rotten to the very core, or internally corrupt, or good for nothing. That describes us without Jesus. And although my life was messed up like that, every one of us, guys, have that propensity. Every one of us. And so we have to recognize that and realize it's the sin nature that does it. But if we practice evil, if we live that way, we're condemned. But notice verse 21. He says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Notice the contrast here the Lord makes. Not he who hears the truth, but he who does the truth comes to the light. It reminds us, not hearers of the word only, but doers. You know, you can hear the truth and it not affect you. Maybe today you're hearing the truth. I've even known of people that like to hear certain pastors and they're openly living in sin. Figure that one out. I don't get that. Herod was like that. Herod loved the preaching of Pastor John the Baptist. He loved it. It says that Herod loved to hear him. When Herod heard John, he's like, man, that guy, that's great. I love to hear him. He loved to hear him speak. He had power. And yeah, I don't know if he admired his leadership, the power that he spoke with. You know, he's a leader. I don't know what it was about it, but he liked to hear him, but he didn't do it. And so although he was hearing about God, he wasn't doing what needed to be done to come to God. And Herod died, no doubt, condemned. Now, we don't know what happened in the last moments of his life, but if history tells us anything, he didn't go to heaven. And he says here, we're to be doing righteousness. And this is what keeps many people from coming to the Lord. They're doing evil rather than doing the truth. And so there's no way they're going to walk in the light, because it will expose their deeds. It's only when we say, you know what? I'm going to walk in the light. I don't care if my deeds are exposed. I'm coming to the Lord. And guys, there's such a freedom in that. Some of you this morning are running from your deeds being exposed. I'm not saying you need to share with somebody your deeds today. I share some of mine in a limited fashion so that you can associate with what I've been through. And maybe it might minister to you and give you hope, because God gave me hope. But that doesn't mean you have to go and share with everyone every detail or spread something or whatever. But when you confess to God and you get it out in the open, freedom, freedom. You know, I'm in a place now, if somebody ever came to me, oh, I'll tell you about Mark Kirk, let me tell you what he did. I'll say, it's all true. I'm not hiding it. It's all true. Here, shine the light on it. Get a spotlight out. I'm not going to give you more details than you need, because why talk about sin? But everything you said is true. Here's the difference. I've confessed it and I'm forgiven. What have you done with your sin? See, we don't have to hide anymore. We don't have to be afraid. I remember walking in the mall one time and seeing an old sin buddy. You ever seen an old sin buddy when you're out, you know? And I had since been saved. And I see the old sin buddy. And the first time that happened, I kind of just, you kind of run. I'm like, I'll see my sin buddy. I'm out of here, you know? And then after that, it was like, you know what? No, I see him. I go up and say, hey, how are you doing? Because I, oh, hey, how are you? Yeah, you know, what have you been doing? Glad you asked. I don't have to be ashamed of that. Now I can say, you know what? And do you want out too? Grab on. Grab on. Not, you're still doing that, aren't you? You're going to hell. I am not. It's, you know what? I don't know why God rescued me. It's because he's so good. But he'll rescue you too if you want to be rescued. And you can wag your tail, right? I don't know why I do that. See, I still need lots of prayer. There's a lot of growth yet to go here. What you see is what you get. But guys, as we finish today, there's two things I want to drive home. Number one, we as Christians, listen, we need to be evaluating how we're dealing with people around us that are in sin. The world, how are we dealing with them? Are we attacking them? Are we yelling at them? Is there the finger in the face? Is there the attitude? Or is it, I expect you to be stuck in the mud. I expect it. You know why? Because you're born that way. And so was I. What am I going to expect? You know, if the chicken's hatched, I'm not going to run out there looking for puppies. Where are the puppies? I told you they were chickens. Yeah, but sometimes. No, never. You never get puppies out of chicken eggs. Where have you? Who are you? So when somebody's in the world, what you see is what you get. They're going to be sinning. They're going to be doing these things that are wrong. How do we approach them? When we see that sin, it's like, hide your eyes. You're too righteous. You love them. Hey, has anybody ever let you know that God loves you? Do you know that you can meet Jesus in a real way? You can really meet him? Did you know that? Did you know that he'll forgive you of everything you've ever done wrong and give you a place in heaven? That's the approach we've got to be having. So listen, when we people around us in the world, love them. Don't condemn them for what they're in. God, they're living condemned. God will deal with that. Our job is to welcome them into salvation. Our job is to say, here's your escape and your way out. So let's evaluate our hearts and make sure we're approaching the lost around us with grace and mercy and truth and love and compassion. Truth, notice I threw that in there. Love and compassion and grace. That's the first thing I want to drive home today. The second thing I want to say is this. If you're that person that's stuck in that pit, and you know this morning, that's me. I'm stuck in a pit of sin, and I've tried to get out, and I've tried to get out, and I've tried to get out. I cannot get out. You're right. You can't. You really can't. It's okay. If you got a broken leg, you're not going to run the next play. You need to be taken to the doctor. The doctor is in, and his name is Jesus. The Bible says he is the good physician, and he will heal you spiritually today if you will simply confess to him that you're a sin. Bring your deed to the light. You don't have to tell everybody in here. But don't hide in your deed anymore. Don't hide in shame. Listen, God has removed our shame. He's wiped our shame away. Even talking about my shameful things, this service, I shared some of my shameful past in a limited way with you guys. I don't feel ashamed. I'm ashamed of my past, but I don't feel ashamed. You know why? He's wiped my shame away. It's actually something I can use for his kingdom. So don't hide in your shame. Don't hide behind those deeds. Bring them to the light in prayer. When we pray here, and we're about to in a second, bring those deeds to the Lord and say, God, I'm not going to hide these anymore. You see them anyway. I need you to forgive me. I need you to pull me out of the pit. I want the escape. I want the way out. God will give you that escape. Jesus and the cross is the escape. His blood forgives you of your sin. Confess, receive him. You will have your place in heaven. It's that easy, but you've got to choose to do it.
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of John. John was a disciple of Jesus during his 3 years of ministry. John became one of the most influential apostles following Jesus' death and resurrection. He experienced much during his lifetime, including witnessing miracles, running to an empty tomb, and being tortured for his faith. Wouldn't it be neat to meet John and hear his account of what happened? Thankfully, he wrote much of it down. But he even stated that there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. That's how the end of the book of John concludes. What a thing to think about, that books could not contain all that could be known about Jesus and what he did here on earth. Thank goodness we have a small glimpse into what happened, and it can strengthen our faith day by day. If you have a question about what you heard today, you can give us a call at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. If you'd like to listen to this message again, you can easily download the Way Media app from our website, thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. And we hope you found today's message encouraging and insightful into the heart of Jesus. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the New Testament book of John here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.